Hello, this is Wendy Bauer with the Decatur Herald and Review, July 9th, 2018. We will begin today's reading on the front page with the article headlined, Helping Out Family. Cracker Barrel employees purchase bike for beloved co-worker. This is from Decatur. For nearly 4 years, Robert Easton has been a dishwasher and night maintenance worker for Cracker Barrel Restaurant on Decatur's far north side, riding his bicycle to work every day from downtown. Through all kinds of weather, Easton, 50, uses his bike to make the 6-mile trek to his job and other places. Those miles can put a lot of wear and tear on a bike quickly. His co-workers noticed the condition of his bike and wanted to help, so nearly 30 Cracker Barrel employees contributed to buying Easton a new bike. Over 3 days, people from all over the store, from the restaurant side to the retail side, donated what they could, said Diane Rodriguez, one of Easton's co-workers at Cracker Barrel. And we even had enough money to get accessories for the bike, like a light, since Robert rides it at night. The green 7-speed Huffy also has extra reflectors, a lock, a water bottle with a holder, and a horn. I've never purchased a horn myself, but they meant well, Easton said. Easton said he was surprised and happy about his gift. I felt pretty blessed that I work with people like that. We aren't around people like that a whole lot, he said. The servers picked and purchased the new bike before surprising Easton on Sunday, June 17th, as he arrived for work. Co-worker Leslie Hunt described her fellow employees as a family. So it was special to see everyone get involved to support Robert, who always goes above and beyond on the job, she said. Our team is inspired by him daily and got excited and on board with the idea immediately. Staff members said they felt a sense of compassion for Easton as they watched him travel on a worn-out bike, dutifully arriving at work each day. We see him do it every day, coming to and from the store, Rodriguez said. He's never late and is an incredibly hard worker. So when we noticed his old bike kept needing repairs, Leslie and the rest of our team thought we could make his commute a little easier. Cracker Barrel's Decatur General Manager, Jeff Mani, has seen the positive relationship Easton has with the staff. He is a fantastic employee, willing to do anything that we want, Mani said. The servers all love him. Before he received his new bike, Easton had a red Huffy that was made for comfort, not speed. It was a coaster bike, he said. According to Mani, Easton has gone through several bikes since he began working at the restaurant 4 years ago. Sometimes they were not in the greatest shape, Mani said. During the bad weather days, Easton arrives to work prepared. I just wear a raincoat, he said. On the snowy days, I just take it slow and easy, he said. The trick is try not to stand up too much. If you are sitting down, it makes it harder for you to fall down. With a good bike and ideal weather, Easton's trip takes about 30 minutes. That's if I want to, he said. I've been doing this pretty much all my life, so I know what to do. And this article is accompanied by a photograph with four people and a bright green new Huffy bike outside Cracker Barrel. Captioned, Dish and Night Maintenance Worker Robert Easton was surprised with a gift of a new bicycle June 17th that was paid for as a show of support by fellow Cracker Barrel employees, including Diane Rodriguez, Crystal Logan, and Debbie Prusa. And this article was part of the Together Decatur series by Donette Beckett. And if you know a person or a story that exemplifies the best of Decatur, contact Donette Beckett at 217-421-6983. And next, from the Illinois Bicentennial Series, The Cradle of Reagan Presidency, 40th President's quintessential story began at Eureka College. Illinois may be known as the land of Lincoln, but it's another president with Illinois roots who offers lessons to which people today can more easily relate, say officials of Ronald Reagan's alma mater. Reagan graduated from Eureka College in 1932. He went on to become a sports broadcaster, movie and television actor, governor of California, and the 40th president of the United States. "The Reagan story is the quintessential Illinois story," said Michael Murtaugh, the college's vice president for institutional advancement. "He is a person who came from small-town Illinois and made a difference in the world." As noted by Mike Thurwinger, head of the Reagan Leadership Program at the college, "one of the things he offers is the understanding that an individual from humble beginnings can rise to a position where he has an impact on the world." While not downgrading the importance of Abraham Lincoln, Murtaugh notes, "Lincoln grew up in a log cabin. People can't relate to that." Reagan, on the other hand, faced financial struggles, went to college on a needy student scholarship while also working, and had a father with a drinking problem, said Murtaugh. "His life struggles exemplify many of the life struggles our students still face," he said. "He is proof that you can overcome that kind of thing. Reagan's life is something students can relate to." Thurwanger said Reagan's Midwestern and Illinois values colored the way he approached things, and even some of his critics would like to see a return to some of what he was known for, such as his ability to work across the aisle, which we don't seem to be doing today. Signs of Reagan's life, both before and after his graduation, remain on campus, and not just in the Reagan Museum that opened in 1994 in the Surf Center. There is a chapel where Reagan gave his first speech as a college freshman. "The chapel hasn't changed a lot," said Murtaugh. "The pews have been removed, but the feel is still there." But for Murtaugh, the Reagan Peace Garden stands out for me. Dedicated in May 2000, the garden contains a bronze bust of a smiling Reagan by artist Lonnie Steward and a 5x4-foot section of the Berlin Wall, given by the Federal Republic of Germany. Around the base that holds the bust are quotes from Reagan's 1982 commencement address, at which he outlined his plans for seeking peace with the Soviet Union and for strategic arms reduction, with a goal of dismantling the nuclear menace. "Peace is not the absence of conflict, but the ability to cope with conflict by peaceful means," reads one of the quotes. The impact of Reagan teaming with Soviet President Mikhail Gorbachev to end the Cold War is not lost on Thurwanger and Murtaugh. "Both of us are Cold War veterans," said Thurwanger, noting that he and Murtaugh each served in the military for 20 years. "I'm not sure the current generation has a full grasp of his importance in ending the Cold War." A plaque in front of the section of the Berlin Wall contains the famous quote from Reagan's 1987 visit to West Berlin, "Mr. Gorbachev, tear down this wall." Gorbachev dismissed the role that Reagan played in the eventual dismantling of the wall, but during a visit to Eureka College in 2009, the former Soviet leader said, "When all is said and done, he was a great man." Gorbachev is among many dignitaries, including former Supreme Court Justice Sandra Day O'Connor, who have visited Eureka College over the years because of the Reagan connection and the efforts of the Ronald Reagan Society at Eureka College to preserve his legacy. Another way that legacy is continued is through the Reagan Leadership Program, which provides scholarships and mentorships to students. "The idea is to develop their leadership potential," said Thurwanger. "We use a servant leader model, which emphasizes using skills to help others become leaders themselves." He added, Our goal is developing all students so they leave as leaders. Speaking at the 1982 commencement, 50 years after his own graduation, Reagan said, "Everything that's been good in my life began here." It was a phrase he repeated on several occasions, but it wasn't just talk. It was at Eureka College that Reagan gave his first speech as a 17-year-old freshman. He called for a vote of the student body on a student strike over a campus dispute with the college president and the board of trustees, a board on which he would later serve as an alumnus. A double major in economics and sociology, Reagan also competed on the football and swim teams, acted in 14 plays, served in student government, and was a fraternity member. Reagan admitted his involvement in athletics may have drawn attention away from academics. "Even now, I wonder what I'd have accomplished if I'd studied harder," he quipped in that 1982 commencement speech during his first term in the White House. But involvement in such multiple activities continues to be encouraged at Eureka. Calling such involvement a critical component of Reagan's education, Murtaugh said, "Students, more than ever, need to be participants to develop their leadership and communications skills." As Reagan said in a 1982 interview with Pantograph columnist Bill Flick, "One thing about a small school, you can't hide. Students were drafted into those things and found horizons broadened and found themselves able to do things that they never would have attempted." And the Illinois Bicentennial Series is run in honor of the state of Illinois' bicentennial. And continuing on the front page, Frayling mourned. Decatur man was longtime advocate for Macon County veterans. And Tony Reed writes, "Friends and veterans advocates are mourning the death of David Frayling, a longtime supporter of Macon County veterans and related causes. Frayling died Saturday at the age of 79. Frayling, who moved to Decatur in 1983, had been chairman of the Veterans Assistance Commission of Macon County since 2005. He was also among those who pushed for the creation of Decatur's World War II Memorial, which was erected in front of the Decatur Civic Center in 2012 after years of effort. Dave felt God had called him to help veterans, and that is just what he did," said Tim Dudley, chairman of the Macon County Board committee that oversees the commission. People talk about having big shoes to fill, to replace someone. Well, Dave's shoes are oversized shoes. A statement from the Veterans Assistance Commission on Sunday said Frayling died at home with his wife Janine and dog Sir Thomas by his side. Dudley said Sunday that Frayling was the complete package, dedicated to veterans and a trustworthy, honorable man. He said Frayling had remained active and hardworking right up until the very end, when a heart attack marked a rapid decline in his health. "Now will come the difficult task of trying to find someone to replace him. He never asked for recognition, but he deserved it more than anyone," former Macon County Sheriff Thomas Schneider said in a statement. "Let me be the first to say there is nobody more deserving of the title of hero more than Dave Frayling." Frayling's Army service from 1956 to 1966 took him to Korea and Germany with the 82nd Airborne Division. He was sent to Berlin when the wall was being built between East and West Germany and helped build bridges, roads, and infrastructure in Korea after the war, he told the Herald and Review in 2009. As a volunteer driver who took veterans to the VA Ileana Healthcare System facility in Danville, Frayling took 389 trips that totaled 70,020 miles, the commission said. He was an election judge, volunteer with the American Red Cross, member of American Legion Post 72 Macon, Illinois Lancaster Dunn, and a longtime member of the Macon County Honor Guard. "Dave was one of the most patriotic people I have ever known," said Ain Owens, founder of Help for Heroes Macon County, which provides assistance to local veterans. "His dedication to our veteran community made him a wonderful spokesman for the VAC, Help for Heroes Fund, Cruise 11, among other events, and military causes. If it pertained to promoting something for our veterans, Dave was ready to assist and complete the mission." Kathy Paulus, superintendent of the Macon County Veterans Assistance Commission, worked hand in hand with Frayling. She said from his ability to wing a speech to running a tight ship, his loss will be felt keenly. "He will be missed by all the veterans of Macon County," Paulus said. "He was truly one of a kind." And from the local and state page, "These kids are free on wheels. Students retrofit motorized cars for disabled children. The kids couldn't be stopped. Bubble wrap laid out on the floor burst in loud pops under the tires of kids zooming by in motorized cars outfitted with harnesses and joysticks Saturday in a downtown Northwestern University office. While a 2-year-old girl waved to her family from her hot pink car, students from Northwestern cheered her on as she navigated the obstacle course's twists and turns. The cars had been modified for a handful of kids who have difficulties standing or walking independently, to give them a chance to be mobile and independent. A little over 2 weeks ago, transformation of the cars began. On Friday, huddles of Northwestern students studying physical therapy and engineering tested the car's speeds, took measurements, and mapped out the necessary modifications. The Feinberg School of Medicine and McCormick School of Engineering students were collaborating on a project for the course Clinical Management of the Complex Patient, which offers various hands-on workshops. The workshops focus on a range of topics from pediatrics to women's health. This is the first year students have modified the motorized cars that will be donated to the kids as part of the pediatrics series, said Jennifer Kahn, a physical therapist and the course director. "We can teach them everything on paper, everything on a PowerPoint, but to really have that interaction with the kids gives them a whole new skill set," Kahn said. The five kids receiving the modified cars were referred to the class by various organizations, including Lurie Children's Hospital and physical therapists. For some families, the project fulfilled a financial need as well as a medical one. At 6 months old, Stevie Browning was diagnosed with type 1 spinal muscular atrophy, the most severe, and was predicted to live between 8 months and 2 years, said his mother, Samantha Angel. Now Stevie is 2. He can't walk and needs support sitting up, and Angel said she hopes to get him a wheelchair he can control himself. But their Medicaid health insurance denied their request for a motorized wheelchair, citing that Stevie didn't understand the concept of cause and effect well enough to operate one. Angel said she was heartbroken when she heard the insurance company's response, but she hopes the modified car will be a way to prove that Stevie is more than ready. "We don't have enough money to buy our own wheelchair and to practice it ourselves, and this is just the perfect way to show them that if he can drive this car, he can drive a wheelchair," Angel said. And a photograph accompanying the article shows a group of adults around a little boy in a motorized car. Spencer Oswald, 2, sits in a model car he is being fitted for by Northwestern University physical therapy students. The students are retrofitting the internal electronics of Fisher-Price Hot Wheels toys to be driven by children who can't walk or have other limited mobility. Next, state agencies recovering. A year after Illinois lawmakers ended a historic state budget impasse, social service agencies and other providers hardest hit by funding cuts say they're just starting to recover. The providers said some rate increases approved in fiscal 2018 and 2019 isn't enough to undo all the damage. There are definitely less services, said Judith Gethner, executive director of Chicago-based Illinois Partners for Human Service. The impasse led to layoffs, and those positions haven't been filled, Gethner said. Gethner said the crisis has also left many nonprofits leery about spending to replace employees or restore programs. She said many of the organizations are having issues recruiting qualified professionals who are willing to work in such an environment. Lawmakers resolved the impasse with a 32% income tax increase, which passed over Governor Bruce Rauner's veto. Illinois' overall backlog of bills stands at nearly $6.4 billion, according to the state comptroller's office. Next, they're dancing for the joy of it. Fairy Tale Festival, an introduction for youngsters to art form. Tony Reed writes from Decatur, "It's hard to resist the call to be a princess, especially a fairy tale princess. They showed up in their dozens Sunday for an evening of dance, games, music, and fun at the Dance Center in Decatur. Children from younger than 2 to about 9, many wearing princess and fairy costumes, came to join the spectacle of the Dance Center's Fairy Tale Festival, an introduction to the joys of dance from the dance school. 2-year-old Lila Jedlicka was just totally into it. As Mickey Barber, instructor and one of the Dance Center's owners, led the young princesses in a lively impromptu dance, Lila was getting on down and having a grand time, self-consciousness cast aside and her face lit with a broad smile. I brought her because I thought it would be fun to be a princess for the day, said her proud Decatur mom, Shannon Jedlicka, 32. I was a student here until I was 15, and I am hoping she will be a student here too. The Fairy Tale Festival ran from 5:30 to 7 p.m. and also featured animated storytelling by the Really Ridiculous Show and the Awesome Squad Group, provided more music to dance to outside. There were also drawings and prizes, and the grand prize was a year of free dance tuition. Mickey Barber said part of the introducing dance to families that haven't tried it is making them understand it isn't the drama-filled catfight portrayed in some TV shows. We want to let parents see that dance is still good, and a lot of the older kids love coming here because they say there is no drama. It's just fun, she explained. Amy Seaman was there Sunday with her 5-year-old daughter, Arielle Hutton, who is already on the road to learning ballet as a Dance Center student. I think learning dance is good for her brain, Seaman said. It's stimulating and she really loves it. Dance instructor and Dance Center marketing director, Ariana Shelton, said kids can keep dancing through the summer with a series of camps called a Whimsical Summer Series. Go to twinkletoesacademy.org or check out the Dance Center's Facebook page for details. Camps are divided into unicorns, trolls, and mermaids, said Shelton, who was dressed as a unicorn. It's going to be great. And next from Decatur, police, man flees after woman threatens to get gun. A Decatur woman mowing her yard had to threaten to get a gun before the man exposing himself to her outside her garden fence finally ran off, police said. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police said the incident happened between 2:15 p.m. and 2:22 p.m. Friday in the 1700 block of North Church Street. He said the woman first noticed the man loitering near her fence and moved along it as she mowed. She mowed for a while longer and he was still there, so she yelled at him, asking if there was something she could do to help him with, Copeland said. The man didn't respond, and it was when she got closer to him and her vision wasn't obscured that she observed the man looking right at her. Aware he was exposing himself, the woman repeatedly yelled at the man to leave, but Copeland said he refused to move. She then walked toward the residence and yelled she was getting a gun, and he ran and she called us, Copeland said. The woman described the man as a black male, 5'8" to 5'10" in height, 30 to 40 years old, and wearing all black with a black do-rag on his head with white lettering. Copeland said the suspect's description sounds similar to another man police have sought on public indecency charges for exposing himself repeatedly in the area of East Elmhurst Avenue. And from the local briefs, woman reports bullet shot through car. From Decatur. A Decatur woman flagged a passing police officer down Friday to report a bullet had been shot through the hood of her car. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland with Decatur Police said officers checked out the vehicle parked in the 1200 block of West Cushing Street and found a hole had been shot clear through the metal. It went through the hood, and they found the projectile on the ground near the front driver's side tire, Copeland said. The 60-year-old woman told police the damage was done between 11 p.m. Wednesday and 10 a.m. Friday. She said she had no idea who would have done this, Copeland said. Next, free car seat checks available. From Decatur. The Macon County Health Department will hold free car seat safety checks by appointment from 9 a.m. to noon on Tuesday, July 10th at Decatur Fire Department, Station 1, 1415 North Water Street. This is the first of a series of safety events to be held monthly through the rest of the year. Certified safety technicians will ensure proper installation and educate parents on car seat selection and installation. The health department says 3 out of 4 child safety seats are not used or installed correctly, and they hope parents will take advantage of the free program. Schedule an appointment at 217-423-6988, extension 1312. For more information on child passenger safety, visit www.buckleupillinois.org. Next, also from Decatur, police say $800 bicycle stolen. A bicycle valued at $800 has been stolen from a home in the 1200 block of South Silas Street in Decatur, police said. Detective Sergeant Chris Copeland said the black with flames design Schwinn Chopper bicycle was taken between 6 a.m. and 3:30 p.m. June 16th, but the theft was not reported until Saturday. And finally, from the week's schedule of government meetings and other activities of interest to the public in Decatur and Macon County, for today, the Argenta Oriana School District Board of Trustees will meet at 6 p.m. in the Middle School High School Library, 500 North Main Street in Argenta. The Argenta Sanitary District Board of Trustees meets at 5:30 p.m. in the Village Hall, 330 North Warren Street. The Hickory Point Fire Protection District Board of Trustees meets at 6 p.m. in the Firehouse, 450 South Smith Street in Forsyth. The Illini Township Board of Trustees meets at 7 p.m. in the Township Building, 177 South Washington Street in Warrensburg. And we'll take a short break now and return with the second half hour of the Decatur Herald and Review, July 9th, 2018. Please stay tuned.